I believe that the Lord's ultimate plan and best plan for us is to engage in matrimony. And wives have husbands and husbands have wives, and I believe that this brings favor from the Lord. In fact, that's what that scripture says, isn't it? It is God's plan for us. He wants us to replenish the earth. That's what Genesis chapter 1 talks about. So the scripture talks about finding a wife. There's things that the man should do. He should seek out the woman. He should seek her and find her. This is the general projection that the scriptures give. And let's look at Proverbs one more time, Proverbs 31. This brings favor from the Lord. And in Proverbs 31, of course, this is about the virtuous or the powerful woman. We talk about virtuous as in virginity, but that's not necessarily what this is speaking of. You can remember when Jesus was in the crowd and the woman came and touched the hem of his garment, and he says, "I felt what come out of me? Virtue, power." So this is not just a woman of virginity. What we're talking about here is a woman that has some authority and some power in her life. A virtuous woman. And it's translated in the NASV as excellent. So if you look at verse 10 with me in 31 of Proverbs, an excellent wife, King James Bible says virtuous, an excellent wife, who can find? Again, you see that thought of finding the wife. They're not non-existent is the thought, but they're an excellent wife, the virtuous wife, you have to find. For her worth, King James says price, is far above jewels or rubies. So the thought that I want to initiate here is the finding. It's the man's purpose to find the wife, find the woman. It brings favor from God, and it's the thought that it's valuable. There's a valuable thing here. And so what I want to talk about, we've talked about in these series of messages that we've talked about on the home. A couple of weeks ago, we talked, of course, about sex in the marriage. We addressed that. We talked then about disciplining your children last week. This morning, we talked about dating. And then tonight, we'll just spend these next few moments on talking about engagement. And what I want to really address basically is let us understand what engagement is. But I want to salt this with this thought, is that you'll hear me say tonight that dating is what it should be, and what dating should be is two people exploring the possibilities of the people they are dating, being with, being their mates for life. That's what dating is. What engagement is the next step further. Engagement is preparing for that marriage. Engagement is preparing for that marriage. But here is what I want to make sure you hear me say. Neither when you're dating nor when you're engaged, you have made the commitment to marriage and engagement, but you have not signed the contract. You hear me? If during the time of engagement, you remember when Mary and Joseph were about to get married and they were espoused and she became pregnant by the Holy Ghost and he thought to put her away privately? Well, that was the engagement time. And he was going to put her away, not get married. He was going to get out of the engagement, out of the marriage because she was pregnant. And most of us would too. So what we're talking about here, what I want you to hear me say, is that, yeah, we're looking when you're dating, you're looking at an individual as a possibility of being your spouse for the rest of your life. When you're engagement, it's the next step higher. You are making that commitment. You're saying, this is what I want in my life, but you've still got to hear what I'm really saying. It's not saying this is it. It's saying that if we're looking at this thing, neither in the dating nor in the engagement, is it sealed in blood, laid in concrete, however that you want to say it, but it is not ready, the vows have not been made, and the marriage has not yet been consummated. if it's been done properly. And if they make their minds up at this point in time that it's not a good thing, it still is able to get out of the engagement or out. Now, there's embarrassment, there's all those things, but it's a whole lot better to be embarrassed than to be destroyed. Is that right? So I want to make sure that you hear me say that, and I'm going to read what I've written so it may say it better. A dating relationship should always be viewed as a possible marriage partner. On the other hand, dating is not a commitment to marriage. If there is no desire and possibility of marriage, then there should be no dating. If permitted, then abused and exploited and selfishness will happen. Let me say that again. If you're entering into a relationship where there is no possibility of marriage, where you're allowing your emotions to run rampant, you're allowing your flesh to run rampant, if you're entering in to a relationship like that and there is no possibility of marriage, then what's happening is you're opening yourself up for exploitation, you being used, being abused, that kind of thing. And that's going to happen if there is not the possibility of marrying this person. Someone will get hurt. But because two people are dating does not automatically mean marriage. Okay? Only that these two people see each other as a possible, accent on possible partner for life. Again, don't date somebody, don't get emotionally involved with somebody that you do not think you will be able to spend the rest of your life with. Now, and I said all that this morning. And much of what I'm going to show tonight and speak about tonight, I've already said. I'm just not going to rehearse it and go all through it again. I'm just going to show it and give it to you and bring out some thoughts. So, here's what we've gone through today and what we're going to touch tonight. John, when you were dating, remember how it was, the drive that you had to of curiosity, the drive that you had for that person that you felt affection for, that how it pulled you away from things that were important, and how they began to control your life. That will happen in your child's life too, if not taken care of properly. Remember, God's ways versus the world's way. We talked about that in guidelines for dating. I gave you 10 guidelines that would help you get good results for your child in marriage and preparing for marriage. Now then, what we're talking about tonight is how should engagement and marriage evolve? How should it happen? What is the purpose of engagement? What areas in life should be considered before engagement? And how should the engagement be handled? That's what I want to talk about in the next few moments. This is the way an engagement should evolve. First of all, it should come from fellowship with the body of Christ. It has to be built on fellowship. It has to be built on the foundation of fellowship with the body of Christ. If you're seeing a person that is not in the body of Christ, and it doesn't have to necessarily be at this body, or at this group of folks, or at this tribe, if you're seeing somebody that's not in the body of Christ, that is not committed to Christ Jesus, then what you're asking for is problems. You're asking for heartache. You're asking for serious difficulties. Your life is being built on something other than Christ. It has to be built there. Then, next thing that will happen is from that relationship, acquaintances will be built. Let me drop back to here, and let's use Monty and Angie as examples. Angie didn't come here to church, and this was not Angie's home church. She lived 155 miles away from here in Griffin. But through God and His circumstances and the way He deals with us, He brought them together. Now she's here. And what I'm wanting you to see is that now they have built their relationship. God brought them together through fellowship in the body of Christ. Is that correct? And now they're developing their family. They're building it properly. And the marriage will be successful unless they really blow it somewhere along the way. But I'm going to flip this upside down. I showed you today. You can flip this upside down and it'll get completely out of balance. But right now they're building it right. And they became acquaintances. Then they became friends, close friends. Romantic relationship, dating began, and then from that, of course, engagement, and then marriage. And that's what you have. You have that. Those are the flows. Friendship will develop. Friendship will become close friends. Romantic relationship and dating is now in order. And what romantic relationships and dating is exploring the possibility of marriage. That's what it is. Nothing more. You got to understand you're not making the commitment to marriage. You're not saying, I'm going to marry you. But you are looking at the possibility of marrying this person. And if you're not, if this person is totally out of the picture, you would never marry this person, then don't get yourself involved emotionally with the person. Engagement then comes after the romantic times and engagement. This is preparing for marriage, and then marriage is the commitment of life. You got to see it that way. I hear people sometimes say, well, if this one doesn't work, I'll get out of it and get another one. And that's mentality. That's calling what's wrong right. We read in Isaiah this morning, calling evil good. And there's a woe that comes with that. And it'll always come. So it is a lifelong commitment. And when you enter into it, then you must enter into it with that thinking. And the scripture that I want to give you here with this is from Matthew 7:24, where Jesus says, Therefore whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. So the first thing you do when you build a house is lay the foundation. The first thing you do when you build a marriage is it has to have the proper foundation. It has to have the right foundation, and that is the fellowship in the body of Christ. Now, the winds can come and blow on this. The rains can come and blow on this. But the way that it is constructed, the way that it is built, it will be very difficult to destroy it. Now, if you do it the other way around, and some of you ladies, God bless you. I love you so much, and I see you battle and struggle and fight. You want to serve God. You want to love your husband. And I've seen men do the same thing. They want to serve God. They want their wife to come to church with them, and it's all topsy-turvy. And what they have, what's happened in a lot of situations is you get married, and then you say, well, I'll get married, and then I'll get him saved. And the whole thing is upside down. And the winds come, and you can see how top-heavy this thing is, what a little foundation it has. And the winds come, and the storms blow, and Jesus says, great is the fall thereof. Matthew 7:26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And that's what would happen when it's done incorrectly. Don't date an individual that's not in the body of Christ, saying, well, I'll get married, and then I'll get them saved. Great is the fall thereof. And I've seen that several times already in right here. It just does not work. The winds are going to come. Are the winds going to come? It's a promise. They will come. When the winds come, not if the winds come, when the floods come, when the rains come, Jesus said, it'll fall. And great will be the fall thereof, because it's not built properly. It's not built properly. Things are upside down. When trying to build the relationship with the body of Christ upon the marriage, it is very likely to tip over and fall. It's out of balance. So, the first thing that's got to happen is it's got to be the relationship that the person that you are dating and will be engaged to must be involved in the body of Christ. And all the other intricacies can be built upon that, all the acquaintances and so forth. What is the purpose of engagement? The purpose of engagement is to provide a bridge for the position of being single to the position of being married. That's all engagement is. It is preparing from leave from the single life to move to the married life. That's what engagement is. It's that time of preparation. The decision will involve a lot of people. The decision will involve often a lot of money. The decision will involve a lot of planning, and time has to be given. And of course, the time is determined on how much planning has to be done. Number six. What areas in life should be considered before engaging? And what I've done here is I've listed some thoughts of some what we need to look at when we're looking at an individual for the possibilities of marriage. Number one, ultimate. Number one, uno, one-o. Spiritual life. What is their spiritual life? The primary consideration, I'm emphasizing this, is what is their personal commitment to Jesus Christ? What are they doing with their life in a spiritual way? Are they functioning in the body of Christ? Are they involved in a body? Are they involved in church? Is it a very lackadaisical thing with them? Do they come occasionally? Do they go to Easter and Christmas? What is their involvement in the body of Christ? Are they praying? Do they pray? You cannot have a relationship with me unless you talk to me. Is that pretty simple? If you want to know me, you've got to do some dialogue with me. You cannot have a relationship with Jesus Christ unless you're talking to Him. That means you've got to pray. And He'll talk to you through His Word. And you've got to have dialogue. Is He dialoguing with God? Is He communicating with the Lord? Where is He at spiritually? And you need to know that. That's got to be the first on the list of anybody thinking about getting married. What is their spiritual life like? Where are they at spiritually? And number two, what is their personal life like? What are their characteristics? What kind of habits do they have? Do they chomp ice and you can't stand to hear ice chomped? Do they grind their teeth? What are some habits there that could evolve into something that could damage the relationship? Can it be changed? Can it be adjusted? What are some personal traits? What is their characteristic quality? Number three, what is their social life made up? You can learn a whole lot about people by observing their social life. I've listed these. What is their relationship to their parents? We talked about that this morning already. Their relationship with their parents is bad. That is a bad sign. If they are in rebellion to their parents, that is a very bad sign. Number two, relationship to their church. What kind of relationship do they have with their pastor, with their elders, with their leaders? Number three, what kind of relationship do they have with their family members, their sisters, their brothers, their cousins, their relatives? Number four, what kind of relationship do they have with their friends? How do they handle conflict? When conflict arises, how do they handle it? Because the way that you watch them handle conflict, when you and that person have conflict, that's how that person is going to handle that conflict with you. If they yell and scream and hit and stomp, that's what's going to happen. And if you want to be yelled at and screamed at and hit and stomp, then that's what you're asking for, if that's the characteristic trait. What is their response to authority in their life? How do they respond to their boss at work? How do they respond to the authorities that God has placed into their life? What are their characteristic qualities? So, number four, what's their natural life like? What's their age? That's important. When you're 60, will they be 25? Hey, that won't work. What's the age thing here? Work stability. Will they work? Hey, I've met some folks that wouldn't work. You women want a husband that won't work? You go to work and court them. That's what he's thinking. Somebody's got to pay the bills, right? What's their finances like? Can they save money? Do they spend everything they get? What's their finances like? Interest. What is their recreational interest? What do they like to do? You need to know this now before you get married. For example, you marry a guy and all he wants to do is fish. Loves to fish. You know he likes to fish when you get married to him. And so he fishes all the time.
He's never at home because he's always fishing. And so you decide one day, well, I'm going to leave him because he's fishing. You knew he was fishing before you married him. Is that a reason? No, you knew that was there. And that's just a little example. Because people do that. People know the characteristic traits and the habits and the hobbies of people before they marry them. And for some reason, they think they're going to be able to change them and make them just like they want them. It doesn't work. You got to know these things. These are things you've got to have answers for before you marry the person. What is their career direction? Do they have one? Do they have a career direction? Do they want to do something with their life? What are their goals in life? Are those goals compatible with your goals? What are they going to be? So those are some things that you need to look at with this person to see if they're compatible with you. And if those things line up, then you're on the road to a good, successful marriage. You're on the road to having a spouse. Men are finding them a good wife, a virtuous woman. You gals, if you find somebody like this, you got a good man. He'll take care of you. He'll support you. He'll raise your children right. These are just some things you've got to have understanding about. Then number 7, how should the engagement be handled? The last thought, never, ever, never make the commitment to engage before having counsel with the parents if possible. There's many divided homes now. Parents if possible and pastors. Don't do that because they may discourage. You may have made the commitment that you're going to marry this person and then you sit down with the parents and they won't bless it, or the pastors, and they start telling you some things about this individual that you may not have been aware of and change your mind. You've already made the commitment now. Don't make the commitment until you have talked to the authorities that can bless the marriage. Make sure that's covered. Never make the commitment to engage before counseling with parents and pastors. Number 2, the man should approach the woman's father, if possible, and ask if he can marry the man's daughter. Give the father of the bride the respect and the honor that you would want when a man comes and asks for your daughter's hand in marriage. Let him have that right. Let him have that say. Let him have the ability to bless that marriage. Number 3, an engagement ring and a public announcement attest to the genuineness of the commitment. These are just commitments. These are covenantal things that need to be done. They're a covenantal commitment. The wedding ring, of course, we know is covenant, but also by the confession of our mouth. By our words, we are justified. By our words, we're condemned. We need to make sure that we covenantally link up with the ring and with the confession. And then number 4, establish and set the length of the engagement. And this is determined by the time that's needed to make the arrangement, the time it's going to take the family and friends to get together and prepare to participate. And then finally, special considerations such as finances, school, and those kinds of things. Engagement is a precious time in the life of people. It's something that can be a very exciting time. I've watched it, I've witnessed it be a very wearing time on people, and it shouldn't be. The reason that it is wearing on people is because they rush into the engagement before all these other things have been taken care of, before the other things have been noticed and watched over. If it's done properly, it'll be a very, very wonderful, wonderful time in your life. When you guys were engaged, it was about a year, wasn't it? How long were you? Did you put the engagement? No, it wasn't too long. Now that I'm thinking about it, though, 4 months. Yeah, I'm saying that would probably be about the minimum that would be required. Something like that, 4 to 6 months is probably a good time to try to get all these things. But again, it's all dependent upon school, on finances, upon several things. But don't make that commitment until you're sure that that's what you want to do with your life and that this is the person that you want to be with. How long did you and Dave set for your engagement time? It was several months as well, wasn't it? 6 months? That's about the minimum, I think, that you can, 4 to 6 months, that's getting it all together.
But anyway, it should be a wonderful time. But let me reemphasize my main point. When you're dating, and I'm not talking about an occasional going to the movie or going off to eat a pizza with somebody. I'm talking about on a steady, regular basis when you are dating and you're seeing an individual on a regular basis, then you need to be looking at this person and possibilities of marriage. And if you're not ready to marry, then don't be getting yourself emotionally in turmoil. Dating is not a commitment to marriage. Dating is exploring the possibility that this might be the person you'll spend the rest of your life with. Engagement is the commitment to marriage, but instilling that, that's not sealed in stone, that's not written in blood, that's not something that still cannot be gotten out of if something were to come up and you would see that it shouldn't be done. So, dating and engagement. What we've looked at today is God's view on these two things. Amen. We went right through it, didn't we? Most of that I already said, so there was no need in really hassling about it. The main thing in any relationship is making sure that it's built upon the body of Christ. Fellowship in the body of Christ. If that's not happening, you're going to have problems. You're just going to have problems. I wish it wasn't that way. And I wish that when you come to me with your problems that I could counsel with you and fix it for you. But I can't. If it's not built right, it's hard to fix something that's not built correctly with a proper foundation. If the foundation is too shallow or too small, it's hard to build something that it can't stand. Is that right, Steve Lytle? Correct. You cannot build big structure on little foundation. Logan, what's the matter with you? Let's sing. Please remember this week to be praying. If you're in Florida youth camp, youth are the future. We really want them ministered to. Let's cross the aisles and join hands and everybody agreeing with somebody. And let's just close tonight with prayer. Father, we praise you and we love you. I thank you for this church and for this body. Thank you, Lord, for the things you allow me and show me to teach. And thank you, Lord, for the receptivity. Father, the things that we have discussed today are so vitally important to our lives. We're vitally important to the future, our children's future, and to our grandchildren's future. We're vitally, vitally important. Father, I pray that things have been said that you by your Spirit will anchor in our heart. Somehow, some way, you'll write them within us so that when the time comes, we can make the proper decision as to whether this person is or is not someone that I would want my child to be with for the rest of their life, to come into our family, to come into a being with us. Father, I pray that each person here will do that. They will immediately begin to investigate the possibilities and help their children make the right decision. Be with us, Lord. Help us and guide us. Our desire is to please you. Our desire is to not make mistakes and not have the woe upon us. That evil won't be called good. And Father, we pray today that you'll help us. You'll help the young women to find the right husband. And you'll help the young men to find the right wife. Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. For we know that when this happens, we find a good thing and we have favor with you. That's our prayer. That's our plea. We ask you to bless these families, bless this church. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. In his name we decree it and declare it. Amen. Amen. God bless you.